You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. This is Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese. Good morning.
We're here every fourth Wednesday of the month. And our show deals with the liturgical life of the parish and the church, with our tradition, the rites and the rituals that shape us and form us and tell us what we believe and tell us how to live in the world. That's what we, Danielle and I, always talk about in terms of what the rites do for us as a people.
We break open the rituals, the symbols, the signs, everything that makes us who we are, identifies us as Christians, to give glory and praise to God.
There it is. That's in a nutshell. What the liturgy does.
Liturgy 101.
Exactly. We talk about the seasons often, even particularly now, looking at the sudden arrival of autumn in the Chicagoland area.
Yes, it's funny. Todd and I were both away for a week at the beginning of October at the Federation of Diocesan Liturgical Commissions. We were in Louisiana for the first week in October, and I don't know if you noticed when we came back, Todd, the fall colors had exploded.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
We actually drove down some of the liturgy directors, the offices of worship in the neighboring dioceses. We all carpooled down. If anything had happened to us, the worship offices of the Midwest would have been terribly affected. and notice that coming back up north. You saw the color change. The leaves changing, the cool has started.
Yes, well, it's significant temperature drop this morning. It's a little windy out there.
You can't miss the change of the seasons in nature and the change of the season.
Yes, and
in
as we've said so many times, which we get excited about, how those who live in the northern hemisphere, the regular seasonal life is so connected with the liturgical seasons, and in terms of the environmental symbols work very, very well with our theology, our liturgical environment, and so forth. And where we are now, liturgically, we are winding down the season of ordinary time.
Yep.
We are segueing into the beginning of Advent, so a new liturgical year. And as our listeners may already know, at this time of year we see a shift in theology with the readings and the prayers, and they point us to the end times and our belief in waiting for Christ's return at the end of time. And we await for this with joy.
And hope. Although it's not an official title, the second part of this last season of the year, the ordinary time, it's not official, but liturgists kind of make the distinction between summer ordinary time and
fall
autumn.
Ordinary time.
Fall or autumn ordinary time, meaning the second half. I mean, this season, it's the biggest, the largest, the longest season that we have.
Yeah,
the,
it's about 6.5 months.
Largest chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, half of the calendar year is given over to ordinary time, which doesn't mean common, boring, or otherwise monotonous. It means counted time. Mm-hmm. And I think that, Danielle, everything you were just saying, I think that's where, at least for me, where I make that connection. Ordinary time, counted time. And it really makes sense and kind of comes to life in this last part of the liturgical year.
Mm-hmm.
Because counted time, I always ask myself, well, okay, we don't just mark off. We don't just, we don't just say, okay, there's another Sunday down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're counting them down to get through them.
Right.
It's that we're counting down to something.
Right.
We're counting time toward something.
Right.
You know, it's like a countdown.
Right.
And what it is that we're counting down to mm-hmm. is...
We're journeying to fullness in Christ. Yeah. And that's exactly what we long for. And next month marks a very special time in the life of the church. The entire month of November, if you will, is dedicated to remembering the dead.
Yeah.
So looking towards those end times and the hope and the fullness of resurrection. So we pray for all those who have gone before us in the life of faith that they will be brought into the fullness of that resurrection. And
but even the end times, you know, the as you noted, the liturgy shifts and the texts and the readings, mm-hmm. they point mm-hmm. to the end times. And in our own experience, what that does is it raises in our minds our own mortality.
Right.
And so that's the connection, I think, with, you know, the month of all souls.
There's a beautiful line from the rule of Saint Benedict. It's the rule that obviously Benedictines follow, their rule of life, if you will. And Benedict said, "Keep death always before our eyes."
Francis called death our sister.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of our lives. It's a part of being human.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of our humanness that does point us to and remind us of our hope in the resurrection.
Yes, but remember, Christ conquered death.
Exactly. It broke the chains
mm-hmm, exactly.
of death, broke the power of death, as Paul tells us.
Exactly.
Death no longer has power over him. And so that lies, even in a month of all souls, as November is, that lies underneath. That's always our proclamation. That's
right.
always our hope.
Right.
It's always our certitude that death has no power. I know I've said this on the show before, but Mark Cyril, liturgist taught at Notre Dame, God rest his soul. He had a powerful moment with him where he was teaching and a seminar, and this whole room of people, and all of a sudden he stopped and he looked and he said, "Don't you understand?" He's talking to us. "Don't you understand? We're the community of those who have already died."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was just this mm-hmm. stark silence where as it started to dawn on us, "Oh, that's right. We've been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
We've already died in the waters of baptism."
Mm-hmm.
And so natural death has no meaning for us. It has no, not that it has no meaning. There certainly does have meaning for us in terms of the continuation mm-hmm. of our life in mm-hmm. Christ Jesus mm-hmm. after physical death, but it has no power over
right.
us. So, I mean, that's all of those are kind of in the background of the liturgies of November.
Right, absolutely. And it starts with November
right
1st.
Right from the very start of the month.
So next Monday, we mm-hmm. have the Solemnity of All Saints. So we remember all the saints known and unknown. And then November 2nd is the commemoration of all souls.
All the faithful departed. You know, something worthwhile mentioning, I think, in regard to All Saints, that's one of the solemnities, one of the holy days in the United States calendar that when it falls on a Saturday or it falls on a Monday, as it does this year, the obligation to celebrate it in its fullness, which would be by celebrating, participating in a Mass, that obligation is lifted.
Yes, that's a really good reminder.
It's still a solemnity.
Mm-hmm, right,
we still
right.
celebrate it. The Mass of that day is still for All Saints Day.
Right.
The only difference is that the obligation on the faithful to attend Mass on that day is lifted.
Right.
That happens with three of the six holy days that we have in our calendar, for November 1st,
mm-hmm.
for January 1st,
mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
I believe is the case this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
I believe it falls on a Saturday.
Okay.
So the obligation to attend Mass is lifted. And then the third is the Assumption on August mm-hmm. 15th. Whenever those three fall on a Monday or a Saturday, this rule is in effect. But
mm-hmm.
the other ones, the other holy days, Christmas, Easter, and the Immaculate Conception, the obligation holds no matter where they fall.
Yeah, and Immaculate Conception is interesting because if it falls on a Sunday, the Advent Sunday bumps it, but it's so important to America because she's the patroness, it's moved to the 9th.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So there was a little 101 on the ranking of the holy days in the United States. We'll pick it up there, talking about November and these solemnities when we come back from these messages. So stay tuned for more Focus on the Liturgy.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. That's the theme for the 2010 Chicago Catechetical Conference. Join us November 5th and 6th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont for prayerful liturgies, inspiring speakers, and a chance to network with other faith-filled people.
The Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry, in partnership with the Office for Catholic Schools, organizes this annual event. The conference provides opportunities for catechist certification and ongoing faith formation and enrichment. It offers seminars for teachers, catechists, adult leaders, youth ministers, and the people in the pews who want to enhance their faith.
We look forward to seeing you on Friday and Saturday, November 5th and 6th, at the Stevens Convention Center. Call us at 312-534-8039 or log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org to register. That's 312-534-8039.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Celebrate our faith at the Chicago Catechetical Conference. Let us rejoice as one.
Faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're both from the agencies of the Archdiocese of Chicago, ODW and LTP. We're here every fourth Wednesday of the month, and we spent the first part of the show there before the break talking about where we are in the liturgical calendar here at the end of ordinary time and winding the liturgical year down. We will get to the Missal and the English translation of the third edition of the Missal, which we have said that we would be doing for the next couple of months.
Right. Our last show, we began with the introductory rites, and we left off with the penitential act, which segues into the Gloria. So that's where we're going to pick up.
But we wanted to at least kind of give some time over.
Yeah,
to where we are.
Like we were talking about All Saints and All Souls. You know, those are pretty important days in the calendar. So we needed to set a context of what we're about to launch into with the end of ordinary time and those particular feasts and solemnities.
You'd mentioned the commemoration of all the faithful departed, All Souls Day. A number of parishes have traditions built around that day of calling to mind all those from the parish who have passed on to we pray eternal life. The custom of bringing pictures of loved ones who who have died, or the custom of using a Book of the Dead.
Right, and there's some beautiful displays that people create in worship spaces or gathering places or around the baptismal font. Remember, we have died to Christ through the waters of baptism and rise to new life. So there's always baptismal imagery that's highly evident during this month of All Souls. And the display of the Book of the Names of the Dead with a candle lit around the baptismal font is highly appropriate, and people are invited to bring those photographs and display them. We're actually going to be doing that at the office this month, displaying the Book of the Names of the Dead.
So
I think we're going
to
invite people to bring photographs. So really, really nice celebration. And the Book of the Names of the Dead is, you know, we inscribe the names of our loved ones who have died.
The ancient tradition of a necrology,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping a record of
exactly.
a list of those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith.
Exactly.
It's as I said, that custom goes back to the early years of the church,
mm-hmm.
the connection to the martyrs,
mm-hmm.
and the saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful way for a parish and for us as a people of faith to give some kind of expression to that belief that
mm-hmm.
we have, that death has no power over
mm-hmm.
us. Death is not an end.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So we record their names. We remember them in prayer. We pray for them throughout the month. Many parishes institute or kind of unveil that book at the beginning of the month, and it remains
mm-hmm.
there near
mm-hmm.
the font
through the entire month
with the Paschal
mm-hmm.
candle for
mm-hmm.
the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
Just that reminder as we kind of march toward the end of the liturgical
mm-hmm.
year, the great solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of all creation.
Of the universe. Yes.
Universe.
We're going to get to the Missal, but something to note with the revised translation, some of the titles have been tweaked a bit.
That's right.
So more
like
faithful.
Penitential act.
Exactly. Versus penitential
last year,
right.
Last,
so there will be slight nuances in terminology, not just in the prayer texts themselves, but in the titles of the parts of the Mass and the titles for our liturgical days. So our Lord Jesus Christ the King is now our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Some other examples, Holy Mother of God, the insertion of the word holy, and
for
so
January
forth.
1st.
For January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a little minor nuances
but,
with that.
And even in that, though, giving a sense of what it is we believe
mm-hmm.
in celebrating this day, it's the solemnity of Christ the King is the last
yes.
Sunday of
yes.
the year.
Yes.
It culminates the whole liturgical year in a very real sense.
Yes.
I mean, that's not only is it in the calendar year that to which we have been moving,
yes.
but like we've just been talking, it raises the reality that spiritually
I don't want to say new title because it's the Latin title, but it's very cosmological
new translation of that title.
Thanks. It's very eschatological.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we're journeying to. This is the end of the liturgical year. This is the culmination. It's Christ enthroned in glory at the end of time. But it's also a nice segue into Advent, because we'll probably touch on this in a future show, but there's a twofold aspect to Advent.
Right.
And the first 2 weeks are looking towards Christ's second coming, and then it transitions to looking towards the Nativity. So we move from how we always talk about how life flows from the liturgy and comes back into it. So even as we're moving to a new liturgical year, that theme transitions. So we move from
the
focus to the end times, and then we begin
yep.
with that.
That the liturgical year, it begins and
mm-hmm.
ends on that same seamlessly. One year then just flows into the next.
Yes.
Huh? That in this onward march, this counted march,
yes.
this counted move and journey, pilgrimage toward the return of Christ
yes.
in glory
as
King of the universe,
yeah.
as King of all creation, as the fulfillment of all of God's promises,
mm-hmm.
the fulfillment of the kingdom of God,
yes.
the restoration of Eden,
yes.
all of that
I'm glad you said the restoration of Eden. I absolutely love that. You know, it's the Christ in salvation. It's the recapitulation of all of creation. So the fullness of the kingdom of God God and the restoration of Eden. It's everything that was before sin is completely restored. So the Genesis reading of creation, that's salvation. So if you read that through the lens of Christ, yes, it's
and
not
his return,
and
his
return,
return.
It's not just the beginning of our life. It's the end. It's
yeah.
what we're going to be restored into.
Yep, exactly. That it's the fullness of the new creation that.
Mm-hmm.
That began
mm-hmm.
in the Paschal mystery
mm-hmm.
of Christ, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As Paul says, we are the first fruits of that new creation,
yes.
and it, when Christ returns, it will be in that new creation will be in its fullness.
Yes.
We will pick up there. Great segue, because even talking about the Latin title of that, because when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the third edition of the Roman Missal. So stay with us. We'll be back. With more focus on the liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
It's election time in Illinois, and the airwaves are filled with proposals, promises, and personal attacks from the candidates who want to be the governor of our state. Hello. I'm Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. The U.S. bishops encourage Catholics to apply moral principles to civic life. That's why the Catholic Conference of Illinois has interviewed the candidates for Illinois governor on issues important to Catholics. What do the candidates think about the Ultrasound Opportunity Act, tuition vouchers, abolition of the death penalty, civil unions, and immigration? You can find out by going to our website, catholicconferenceofillinois.org. There, you'll find our candidate survey along with their views on a host of other topics. So go to CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org and be an informed voter.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
We're just finishing up talking about where we are in the liturgical year, coming down to the end times, certainly the end of the liturgical year. Beginning next week, we begin the month of November, the month of All Souls, mm-hmm. how the liturgy and its texts point us and call to our minds our own mortality, the mortality of this present creation, mm-hmm. And the hope of the new creation, mm-hmm. that our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, will establish when he returns in glory.
Sure, we pray at every liturgy. We wait with joyful hope for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
As you said during that break, Danielle, that idea, that hope, that promise, and all of the implications that it has, that really does permeate all of the texts of
mm-hmm.
our liturgy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And it will continue to do so when we begin using the English translation of the third edition.
Yes. Yes, nice segue.
I was just thinking that as well. I was just thinking, boy, we did that well.
As we promised, we've been talking for the last couple months now about the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And last month we began with the introductory rites and went through the greeting and the sign of the cross. And
it's the order of Mass. Mm-hmm. We said that once we had the final text, we would spend our time on our shows literally going through the whole order of Mass.
Right.
The English translation of those parts of the Mass that don't change.
That don't change, right.
They stay the same from celebration to celebration.
Right, and the order of Mass takes place in four different parts. So the introductory rites, the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist, and the concluding rite. So for each show, we were hoping to devote a particular show on each part of the Mass, but we're going to continue with actually two shows on the introductory rites, and we're continuing with the Gloria, which takes place right after the penitential act. So if you are saying the Confiteor, which is option A, or option B, or in option C with the individual verses followed by the Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, that segues right into the Gloria.
The great hymn of praise, mm-hmm, to God, that is rooted in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the song of the angels. So important is this great hymn of praise that, mm-hmm, it's required on Sundays, mm-hmm, and solemnities, mm-hmm, and feasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hymn of joy. Mm-hmm. It's a hymn of praise. Ideally, it should be sung. Mm-hmm. I mean, Danielle, there's very few situations I can imagine where this would not be sung.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously in the rubric it says this hymn is sung or said, but by nature, being called a hymn, it really should be sung. So whenever possible.
It was sung by the angels. That's, mm-hmm, that was the great song at the birth of Christ,
right,
in Bethlehem.
Right. We're talking the scriptural allusions to this is Luke chapter 2, the infancy narrative.
And remember, one of the things we raised last month, Danielle, was that in this English translation of the third edition, the biblical allusions are much more,
yes,
prominent.
Yes,
they're highlighted.
Yes,
and thankfully, I mean, it's been there even in the current edition, the current translation. You get you get that connection to Luke's infancy narrative,
right,
huh?
Right.
In the darkness of the midnights, mm-hmm, you know, the midnight of this Bethlehem, mm-hmm, night, with a bright star, calling all of creation to look at what God has done,
yes,
by coming into His creation,
yes,
the incarnation.
Yes.
What else could you do,
yes,
in the face of that but break into a hymn of,
yes,
praise?
It's incarnational. God became human so that we could be divine.
And the words with which we sing, by which we sing our praise, will sound different in the third edition.
Yeah, there are. There's a whole added stanza, actually, that was always in the Latin. But it's going to be more evident to people now with the new translation, and I'm just going to recite this prayer for everyone here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. So notice the change there from glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth is changing to and on earth peace to people of goodwill. And then it continues, and here's the added stanza. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. I love this.
I do too.
This
is
all of the prayers. Now, there are some beautiful prayers in this revised translation, but of all of them, I think that is my absolute favorite. I am so happy that this is restored in the English. I think in terms of what we do liturgically to give God glory, this encapsulates all of that meaning. And Paul Turner, who's a noted author, pastor, scholar, brilliant liturgist, he's done a series of writings for LTP on the Revised Missal, and he talks about this stanza. He says, to some it may seem excessive. You know, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you. But there's a point to that excessiveness, is because we stand in awe in the presence of God, who is so majestic and so great and so other, that we babble and stammer.
You know, I love that.
We're humbled by that greatness and that glory and that majesty. And so we use all different adjectives and verbs to describe our relationship with him, that we give you praise.
There's a cadence to, to this in the Revised English Translation that really does pull out the poetic quality of this hymn.
Yes.
As you said, it's been there in the Latin. The only reason it wasn't translated in the current edition is the methodology of translation. That poetic cadence wasn't a priority. And so that repetition kind of that you just alluded to, that wasn't a priority. And so in the current translation, it was, we praise you, we glorify you. You know, it was simplified, but in the Revised English Translation, that poetic character comes out, and so it's stammer, but it's also, if you think about it, it's also kind of it's a crescendo.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
We praise you, and not only do we praise you, but we bless you. Not only do we praise and bless you, but we adore you. Not only do we praise, bless, and adore, but we glorify.
Yes.
It's this building.
Yes.
You know, this crescendo, which again I think points to the need, in one sense, for this to be sung.
Yes, but you
it
know,
comes out in the music. Our listeners, imagine singing this. Imagine these words being put to a rhythm and to a and this the whole parish joining in one voice singing. We bless, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you.
We'll pick up on that when we come back.
Stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
In this whole second half of the show, we are returning to the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, which we will begin using in the United States November 27th, the weekend of November 27th, 2011. So just a little over a year from now.
Yes, it's the first Sunday of Advent.
Yep. The final English text was received by the bishops of the United States in August of this year, and Danielle and I have committed ourselves to walking through the English translation of the Order of Mass. Mm-hmm. And where we are now is we're looking and breaking open and delving into the Gloria.
Yes.
And this great hymn of praise that you know, in a sense, it is in the introductory rites, which is when this takes place, it is serving this purpose of to gather us into one body.
Yeah,
and we do that by, as we said just at that break, you know, joining all of our voices into one voice to sing God's praise with this hymn.
And it's important to note, this is I don't want to call it a rite because it's not really a rite; it's a prayer. But in a sense, it's a rite unto itself. There's been a practice of combining this with the sprinkling rite. So this would be the hymn sprinkling music that would accompany that ritual action. But no, this particular ritual action of this prayer should be done as it is, as a prayer,
as a hymn of
praise on its own. So if you look in the rubrics of the Missal, the penitential act, that rite of sprinkling, that sprinkling replaces the penitential act, which precedes the Gloria.
And so it shouldn't be combined.
No, it shouldn't be combined. And in your musical planning for those pieces, the music should segue naturally from the music that's selected to the rite of sprinkling should segue nicely into the Gloria. So a lot of musical settings or mass settings would have a Gloria arrangement, but also something for the rite of sprinkling, so you're not jumping from one arrangement to another. And so the beauty of that rhythm of going from one rite to another would be natural.
Right, and it would be maintained.
Mm-hmm. Now, Todd, you were talking before the break about the crescendo of this.
Yeah,
we praise you, we bless you, we adore you. And how that really emphasizes the need for it to be sung. And I completely agree with you. But I just want to say something. I'm glad you're using musical adjectives to describe the actual texts themselves, because I think that illustrates how the poetic nature of this new translation really shows how in that poetry and in that rhythm that the liturgy as a whole is musical.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And priests will notice when they get the new missal, there's a lot more chant in this missal, mm-hmm, than there has been in the past. So there's a strong emphasis to sing the Mass more than we have done in the past. And I think it's important to note, we're not singing at Mass, we're singing the Mass.
Right. We sing our prayer, mm-hmm, of praise and thanks,
mm-hmm,
of which all of these texts are part. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it, as you noted, it can be recited, but it's really meant to be sung. And of course, all of the major Catholic music publishing companies, they have been long at work in setting to music this revised English translation. Some of them are being worked into already existing settings, like Massive Creation, which, you know, whatever you may think of Massive Creation musically, your taste, your preference, it really is one of the most well-known Mass settings that we have.
Yes,
and they've reworked, Marty has reworked the Massive Creation for the new setting.
Did you know the timing of that was in sync with the 25th anniversary of Mass of Creation? The timing wise, it just celebrated 25 years. So if you go to GIA's website, there's actually a big write-up about that and an interview with Marty Haugen. It's a PDF download they interviewed him and just talking about the process for the composition and celebrating 25 years. So it's had quite an influence on Catholics and over the last couple decades. So,
you know, another point in regard to this, Annabelle O'Shea from our office has made this point numerous times. If you're learning new texts like you are here,
mm-hmm,
with the Gloria, to learn them by singing
absolutely
is it's not, there's a whole dynamic that you can miss if it's learned recited, as opposed to learning to recite it.
Music definitely helps us learn.
It's easier, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps us learn. It will make the transition so much smoother.
Yes. For some pastoral and catechetical advice with that, just a couple things that you can do. Obviously, the actual compositions themselves, in order to purchase, they're available for pre-order. The music companies aren't shipping them yet until they get the go-ahead from the bishops. But if you go to the various music publishers' websites, OCP, which is Oregon Catholic Press, go to www.ocp.org. GIA's website is www.giamusic.com. And then World Library Publications in Chicago has developed a website specifically for the revised and new settings of the Mass, and it's singthenewmass.com. You can review MP3 files of all
which
of these new translations.
You can hear
them. So the resources are available. I hear we're going to break right now, so I'm going to pick up on that when we come back.
All right. Well, stay with us. We'll be right back with more Focus on the Liturgy.
Engaging Catholic youth within church life requires both determination and creativity. For the past 3 years, the Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry has been blessed to partner with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center for Chicago in providing evangelization events for youth.
Thanks to this partnership, Young Leaders of Chicago is making a big difference in the lives of thousands of youth. Since our last fundraiser, Young Leaders has touched over 1,500 youth with 30 rallies, service projects, and retreats.
Please support the Young Leaders of Chicago at their Invest in the Future fundraising breakfast this coming November 20th at Elmcrest Banquets, 7370 West Grand Avenue in Elmwood Park. Come join Father Michael Sparrow and Mark Nemo for an inspirational address, praise and worship, all in support of Young Adult Leaders of Chicago.
Tickets are $28 for adults and $16 for students. All proceeds go to the Vicariate for Youth Rally Fund. For more information, call Tom Howard at 312-534-8029. That's 312-534-8029.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. We're talking about the Gloria, obviously, here on Focus on the Liturgy, and breaking it open. And Danielle, just before that last break, you were talking about how people can hear the new settings and even the reworked existing settings for this hymn.
Composers have been charged with two things. There are certain Mass settings, like you noted, Mass of Creation, that they're revising the existing musical compositions for the new text, but also composing new settings. I was giving the the music ad, the website address is for a reason, because we learn, as you were saying, we learn text through music. We learn better. So I would encourage you to go to those websites. There are MP3 files that are available on the website that you can actually listen to, so you can hear how the new ones sound and how the revised ones sound. When you're planning catechetical or formation sessions about this new translation, consult with your music directors to find out which settings they're going to be using in your parish specifically for Advent, because the texts are going to be used for the first time on the first Sunday of Advent of next year. So find out what the Advent musical settings are going to be. So once they're available to order and to be shipped and use in practices from the music publishers, incorporate those settings in your catechetical sessions. There's a twofold reason for that. Number one, they're going to learn the music, but number two, they're going to learn the text.
Right.
So when the first Sunday of Advent rolls around, they're not going to be surprised. Yes, you should teach them before Mass like we usually do when there's new music, but there's going to be more preparation time and rehearsal time for learning the music and the text. So I think that's going to be more effective to do that. So keep in close communication with your music director and find out, and he or she will know when those settings are available. GIAOCP World Library has always recorded CDs
of
their Mass settings, and I know that they're in the process of doing that now. So when those CDs are available, or those MP3 files are available for actual download onto iPods and so forth, you can use those recordings in your catechetical sessions too if you're not a strong musician. So there are resources available for you.
And remember, for the Gloria specifically, we've got a little bit of extra time.
Yes,
because we won't actually be using the Gloria until Christmas.
Yeah, well, Immaculate Conception.
On December 8th, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's that option as well. So, but really, it's Immaculate Conception that you'd be using that. But
right.
Yeah, there's a lot more time to learn those settings.
The texts themselves, which are set to those new tunes, that whole great kind of that element of great hymn of praise,
mm-hmm.
it continues on even after this new stanza, of we praise you, we bless you, we glorify you. It continues on with the next stanza.
Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us.
Even there, you've got that same quality, that poetic quality that is evident in the Latin,
mm-hmm.
the repetition of you take away the sins of the world, the repetition of have mercy on us. I mean, it in one sense, it even points us to later in the liturgy, in the litany of the fraction
mm-hmm,
rite,
mm-hmm,
and the Agnus Dei.
Yeah, there are total allusions to the Lamb of God in here, even by the naming of Christ with these various titles: Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, and then the taking away the sins of the world.
There's a musical quality
mm-hmm.
to it.
Right.
You take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on
mm-hmm.
us. We what I like too about it is, remember what we were saying last month about the act of penitence, the penitential act. It at the same time that we praise God, we praise Him for His mercy.
Yes.
And so there's always that element that, yes, we are requesting, we make a petition of God, have
yes.
mercy on us. But at the same time, that request is a proclamation of praise.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I think it's rooted in that idea of, we would never ask for something if we didn't think God would give it.
Right.
And so at the very moment we're asking and requesting, have mercy on us, even in that is an act of praise.
Mm-hmm.
We're praising and thanking God.
Mm-hmm.
It's this dynamic that is just, I think, very powerful in the liturgy at this moment.
I think, and speaking of sins, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, but there is a minor change in the Gloria with the singular versus plural with the word sin. I believe it's singular in the current, and it's going into the plural, yeah. Which is a closer yes. connection than to the Lamb of God, because it's always been plural there. And so you take away the sins of the world, all sinned, yeah. Christ restores us.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so, and for that we give you praise
yes.
and dare to and that praise even prompts us to ask for more of it. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Right.
Have mercy on
right.
us. So,
right.
so that quality is there in the middle stanza, and the Gloria then really does end on a familiar
mm-hmm.
note.
Yes,
the
yes.
last stanza is
the same.
Is what we are currently using.
For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a hymn of praise. It's a prayer in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
We evident with the great concluding amen. That's part of that. So the Gloria is I think it's beautiful. I look forward to mm-hmm. to singing that. Mm-hmm. Stay with us. We'll pick it up there when we come back for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. The 4th Annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place on Saturday, November 13th at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food by Cafe Bianda, cupcakes by Amy Beck Cake Design, an incredible lineup of silent auction items including a week's stay in the Bahamas, open bar featuring Mad Crack Energy Drink and Svedka Vodka, casino gaming, raffle prizes, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/casino night. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21, so grab your friends and game with us for a great cause. Proceeds will benefit the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, and shelter to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. For details, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. We are going to wrap up in this last segment the introductory rites in the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through the texts, and we had just finished, Danielle, going through the Gloria before that last break. In the introductory rites, this really does move us to the last part.
Yes, the collect, which
the
we've been calling the opening prayer. Now remember, the introductory rites, the purpose is to gather.
Yeah.
And there's a meaning in the word itself, collect, to collect.
Yeah.
It gathers the prayer of the faithful and then points us to the meaning of that celebration which we are celebrating. So the opening prayer or the collect does just that. It gathers our thoughts and our prayers, but also tells us something about that particular celebration
yeah.
of what we're about to celebrate.
And the guidelines, the directives, what we call rubrics, they even direct that after the Gloria, there's the introduction that the priest gives, let us pray.
Yes.
And then that should be followed by...
by silence, yes. And there's a reason
silence,
for that.
Yeah.
It's not to give the altar server time to bring the missal over. It's prayer for the entire assembly. So in the assembly... those gathered in the pews, but also ministers and priests and deacon, everyone is part of that assembly. So in that let us pray, we are invited to do just that, to pray.
So give us time to do what we've just been invited to
yes.
do.
Yes. And so then the collect gathers all
yep.
together.
Collects
those
them all.
Prayers that we have been praying in the silence of our hearts, collects them all. And then
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. If you were here in the studio, Danielle and I were both just waving our hands.
Our
it collects
hands.
Them all in this gesture of and gathers them all up. Well, but it does.
It
That's
does.
Exactly what it does.
And we have an example for you. Now, all of the collects in the entire Missal have been retranslated. So you're going to hear more biblical allusions and more poetry and more rhythm. And Todd has a favorite prayer. It's from the first Sunday of Advent. And we've chosen this specifically because the prayers are going to be mandated for use for the first Sunday of Advent of next year. So he has this as an example.
I think this is a beautiful prayer, and I love the fact that this is the first collect we're going to hear in using this revised English translation. So the priest will give the introduction and the invitation, let us pray. A moment of silence follows that, and then the prayer reads, grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that, gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. I love the imagery there. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple of things to note, Danielle, that you already started to mention in the Revised English Translation. In the current text, those Latin prayers, the Latin prayer is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The prayer hasn't changed. Remember, it's the translation. But in the current translation, those Latin prayers follow the Latin syntax, longer sentences,
mm-hmm.
Long sentences with subjunctive mm-hmm. Subjunctive clauses,
mm-hmm.
and with insertions,
mm-hmm.
and in the current translation, those long Latin prayers in most cases were broken up into two
mm-hmm.
or even three sentences.
Right.
For the most part, in the Revised English Translation, these opening prayers are going to be as they are in Latin. One long sentence,
right.
and that was the case certainly with the example we just used. But even beyond that, listen to the biblical allusions.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Listen to I see allusions to the ten bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
You know who stood there in the night with
mm-hmm.
their lamps lit, looking. Straining
mm-hmm.
their eyes, craning their necks, waiting
mm-hmm.
for the return of the Master. And you hear that illusion even in here.
Right. Remember, the first 2 weeks of Advent are about
exactly.
the return of
we
Christ.
We just talked about that.
And a time, and this is what the prayer directs our thoughts to.
Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ. So give us the resolve. I
mm-hmm.
love that. You know, give us the desire.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the resolve. Give us the determination
mm-hmm.
to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds
mm-hmm.
at his coming.
Mm-hmm.
Righteous deeds, you know, even the allusion to the great judgment of Matthew's gospel
mm-hmm.
and the sheep and the goats. You know, come, you who have done these righteous deeds, you come and inherit the heavenly
mm-hmm.
kingdom that has been prepared for you since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So we run forward with righteous deeds at his coming, so that, gathered at his right hand, there's that allusion to Matthew in the parable of the goats and the sheep again.
Mm-hmm.
So gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. I think I love the images there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another example just to give the folks, but also we were talking at the start of the program about where we are in the liturgical year and the coming Solemnity of All Saints.
Yes, Monday is November 1st, Solemnity of All Saints, and here is the collect from the Revised Translation for that day. Almighty ever-living God, by whose gift we venerate in one celebration the merits of all the saints, bestow on us, we pray, through the prayers of so many intercessors, an abundance of the reconciliation with you for which we earnestly long, through Christ our Lord.
Again, one sentence, but all of the different parts of that.
Right. Well, it's one sentence, but pay attention to the commas.
Yeah.
Those are going to help with the pausing, right, and to convey the meaning more effectively, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. And so in at this point in the Mass, the introductory rites have done what they are, mm-hmm, intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have gathered us from in many individual Christians, and they have made us into the body of,
right,
Christ, so that the body of Christ can then offer the great prayer of praise and thanks that is,
yes,
the Eucharist.
Yes.
And so at the end of the collect, we are seated and we are prepared to receive the word that's proclaimed in the next part of the Mass,
which we'll pick up on,
yeah,
next month.
We'll look at that, begin looking at that next month. Until then, happy November, happy month of All Souls, happy Feast of All Saints. Look for us again on the fourth Wednesday of November.
I'm Danielle Knott.
I'm Todd Williamson. You've been listening to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Stay tuned for more Catholic programming.